Well, if I've never personally met you before, my name is Mike, and it's an honor to be here at New Hope. And Adam and Nick have bragged on you, and you're better than what they bragged on. Come on now. Come on. Do you not love being at this amazing church? Would you just give the Lord a hand for what he's doing? Holy smokes. Well, it is my honor to be here. And, man, we rolled in last night. We've been looking so forward to it. I met Adam, Pastor Adam, when he was going in middle school. That's how long I've known Adam. And I remember in those early days, I remember coming home and telling Ann, I said, there's a kid in the group, and I think God's going to do something huge with his life. And then Adam got into high school, and I went, I don't know if he's going to use Adam or not. I don't know how this is going to turn out. And man, I look back now at his life. So his family, tell you a little story. His parents were the very first two people I met when I interviewed for the job in 1991. They were on the search committee there at the church. And I remember meeting them and then meeting Adam and his sister Nan and his brother Chad and going, I want a marriage like his parents and I want a parent like his parents. And literally, this is true, Ann and I modeled our parenting and marriage after Adam's parents. And it has been a crazy journey now. For all these years, his mom has been my assistant for 20 years, which is crazy. And then his brother-in-law, who married his sister, my daughter works for them. All right, and so that's sort of a crazy deal there. And I want to tell you, you got a good one. You got a good one. And he is going to lead you well. He and Morgan are going to love you well. And if you go, Mike, I'd love to go out to lunch and learn some more, you don't have enough lunches, all right? And so I got more stories than you got lunches, but I love those two, and they're going to do great. And do you not love Nick Person? Come on now. Do you not love some Nick Person? My children were both in his student ministry. And they will tell you to this day, if you line them up right there and said you got to choose in ministry to go hear Nick or go hear your dad, they won't ever get that choice, all right, because they'd rather go hear Nick. And he has probably been, and I will tell you this, Nick, the biggest spiritual influence in their life. Outside Ann and I have been you. I want you to know that. Nick was in my college ministry back when we had a little college ministry meeting in our basement. He and his beautiful wife, Laura, they were dating at the time, and I did a Bible study, and his kids will enjoy this. I did a Bible study on giving up idols in your life, and Laura broke up with him. All right, wasn't that awesome? She broke up with him. And I remember Nick coming to my office and going, don't you ever do that idol message again, man. Don't ever do it. But Nick and Laura, anointed, I think, is a great word. And to get the two, Adam and Nick, Pastor Adam, Pastor Nick together, you guys are blessed. You guys are blessed. And they are a blessing in my life. And they truly do feel like, you watch them, I feel like they're my kids. And just getting to celebrate with them and to know that they're together is amazing. And man, it's so great to be here. So my wife and I will be married 33 years. Next month, come on now. Yeah, here's a picture of Ann. Ann's down here on the front row. Nick said, everybody's gonna see Ann here with you and think she's showing her daddy around. All right, son, I don't appreciate that, man, at all. I hurt my feelings. Did hurt my feelings a little bit. But so she's amazing. We met at Liberty University. I convinced her, I snookered her, and we got married, been together 33 years, and then we've got two kids, Casey and Mary Michael. This is my daughter's wedding. That's Mary Michael, the bride, her husband Jim Hahn. He's in sales in Atlanta, amazing couple. She serves at a great church, Bethlehem. Y'all heard Jason Britt a couple months ago. She serves with Jason doing community, and that's my son Casey, the big tall one there on the end, who's married to Kelsey. Casey serves on staff with me, and in fact is preaching for me right now in Atlanta, which is awesome. And his wife Kelsey, she is a field reporter with the Colorado Rockies, and it's awesome. And you're like, why did you choose a wedding picture? Do y'all know how much weddings cost? All right, you're gonna see a lot of wedding pictures. That's what I'm talking about. It's expensive. All right, and then here's a picture of us last summer on vacation, getting ready to go out to dinner. And Ann and I are still trying to figure out, we've got four working adult children and we still pay for dinner. I don't know how that deal works, but it's still working. I know they're working that deal hard, all right? And then we're expecting our first grandchild in December, yeah? We're gonna have a grandparent reveal name party coming up soon. But anyway, so we are so blessed. And we are so blessed in life. And I can't tell you, Bennett Northstar, December will be 20, or January will be 28 years. I've been on staff there at the church, served two churches since 1991 and just have been blessed. But I'll tell you this, there have been some seasons. Your title of this series that you're in is Overwhelmed. Been there. I remember a day not too long ago, which would be 12 years now ago, this fall. I was sitting in my truck at a local high school, and I was trying to figure out what I was going to do. I didn't want to go in. I didn't want to go home. I didn't want to go to the office because I was overwhelmed. And when you're overwhelmed, it shuts down every sense you've got. It shuts down every emotion that you have. And all of a sudden, you begin to wonder about things you never thought you would wonder about. Been there. Today's about that. I hope to set some of you free today from God's word. So if you've got your Bibles, you'll need those today. You got the little sermon note sheet on the way in. Let's use that as we work along. There's a little blank there at the top, and it says this: some things in life are not problems to be solved. They're tensions to be managed. There are some things you will go through in life, whether you're in your 20s, whether you're in your 50s, whether you're in your 70s, or whether in your teens. There are some things you will go through that are not problems you're going to solve. You're not going to figure it out. They are tensions that you've got to manage. And here's one of the greatest tensions you're going to manage: those who doubt and those who don't. Those who doubt and those who don't. We believe in our brain, I either doubt completely or believe completely. And I'm going to tell you, as a Christ follower, you are going to live in the tension of faith and doubt. And you're going to feel that tension. And you're not going to solve it. You're not going to figure it out. You're not going to get to the end of it. You're not going to wrap it up. Why? Why do I know that? Because the stories of Scripture are full of people just like you and me. As I sat in my truck that day, did I doubt God was real? No. Did I wonder if God had taken a day off? Yes. You ever been there? God, I know you got some big things going on in the world, but you know, I'm down here trying to get this thing done. I've been faithful and I do what I'm supposed to do and go where I'm supposed to go. And I love my wife and I love my family and I love my church. What happened? And we live in this tension. Some things in life are not problems to be solved. They're tensions to be managed. So how in the world do we live in this tension of faith and doubt? And while we're in it, honor the Lord and walk to the Lord. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Would you pray with me? Right where you're seated today, wherever you're watching from online, would you just ask the Lord, if you're real, would you speak to my heart? Would you ask him that? And then would you tell him, God, when you speak, I'll listen. I'll listen. We invite you, Holy Spirit, into this place. You're here. But we don't need you to exit when the music's over. God, we need you to pull up a chair, knee to knee and toe to toe and eye to eye with us. And God, help us be who you created us to be while we walk these halls of earth. God, may we walk out these doors in a few minutes, not figuring it all out, but having a new tool in our toolbox for what we're going to face. And God, Father, we ask you do your great work in us and through us and on us now. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said? Amen. So let's talk about this real quick. This book, the Bible, is full of stories. I don't know how familiar you are with it, but this book is full of unedited stories. So let me just say this. If I were writing the Bible, I would have left out a lot of the stories. You know what I'm talking about? And so he left flaws and all in there. He left, so I bet there's some people that live that we're still talking about that wished he'd have left out some stories. But he left them all in there. Why did he leave them all in there? So you could find people just like you that have walked the hallways of this earth that are trying to figure it out, and they visited the room of doubt. Let's talk about a few of them. Ready? First name here, Thomas. 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 I don't know how familiar you are with the Bible, but you've probably heard this phrase before. He's not just known as Thomas the disciple, Thomas the faithful, Thomas the chosen one, Thomas the martyr, ultimately, Thomas the diligent, Thomas the prayer. We know him as Thomas the what? The doubter. We know him as Doubting Thomas. Poor joker, right? He had a bad day, right? He's had a bad day, and we still grab it. But you know what? I'm so glad his story's there. Here's why. He saw every miracle. He was there the day Jesus fed 5,000 on a hillside. It was probably 15,000 people. He was there when Jesus gave sight to the blind, and he healed a leper. He was there when nobody else was there. And yet on a Friday, his world collapsed because the one that he had pinned his hopes on and pinned his future on was hanging on a cross. We only know of John, the apostle, being there that day. I don't know what other disciples were there. They scattered, and then Sunday morning, they were gathered together in a room, or Sunday evening, they were gathered together in a room because Jesus died on a Friday, and rumor has it, he got up Sunday morning and walked out of that tomb, and the disciples are huddled up on a Sunday night in the upper room, and Jesus appears to them, and Thomas wasn't there. He didn't see him. So he's got his other 10 brothers. Judas has gone and done his thing. He's got his other 10 friends going, Thomas, you're not going to believe this. We saw Jesus. He walked through. The Mary saw him. And look at what Thomas said in John chapter 20, verse 24. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, he was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, we have seen who? What's it say? But he replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hand, put my fingers in them, and place my hand into the wound in his side. I know you think it. I don't know. I'm doubting if what you're seeing is really real. Why don't we get there? I want you to write a word down. It's just a word. Ready? Under number one, or under that blank, circumstances. When circumstances don't turn out like we like, we can begin to doubt everything we know. Right? Circumstances. The marriage you thought would be everything. I have so many couples, and they'll come in for premarital, and I'll sit down with them, and I'll say, well, tell me what you love. I just love everything about them. They make me so happy. You know, in the words of Jerry Maguire, they complete me. They complete me. And then 6 months after they're married, they're like, can you believe I married that joker right there? Right? Circumstances. Maybe with our children. Maybe in our marriage, maybe in our job, maybe with the home we thought would make us happy, the car we thought would make us happy, the place that we got signed up for to go on vacation, and all of a sudden circumstances don't turn out like we like. Thomas signed up to be with Jesus to the bitter end, hoping Jesus would be the military leader, and now Jesus is gone on a Friday. He's gone, and Thomas's career's gone, and he became a doubter. Now, did he doubt what he'd experienced? No, he just doubted the circumstance. Does that make sense to everybody? But it wasn't just Thomas, John the Baptist. Now, he's a joker now. John the Baptist, he was the forerunner of Jesus. His mother had John the Baptist 6 months prior as Jesus's cousin, and his one and only job was to be the trailblazer for Jesus. And when everybody wanted to crown him the Messiah, he's like, no. There's one who's to come whose sandals I'm not even worthy to tie. And when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, John's like, he's the guy. And I'm telling you, when you're talking about preaching, this joker could preach. And everybody wanted to hear what John said. He had followers, and everybody was all in on the Jesus movement because John was going, he's the guy, he's Jesus, he's God with skin on. And then John the Baptist, get this, hey, he gets arrested. He gets arrested because of a sermon he preached, and the king wanted him dead. John the Baptist's circumstances took a hard turn, and he's sitting in prison about to be beheaded for his faith. Now, there's nobody. If you put every sermon that Nick and I and Adam have ever preached, none of them would have the power of what John the Baptist had preached. And I want you to look at where he was. Matthew chapter 11. I'm so glad God left these things in here. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus this question: are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we look for somebody else? Yes or no question. Did John the Baptist believe in who Jesus was, yes or no? All right, help me out again. Y'all didn't sound real sure about that. Did John the Baptist believe in who Jesus was, yes or no?
Yes.
Did John the Baptist doubt in this moment?
Yes.
He lived in the tension, didn't he? Some things in life aren't problems to be solved. They're tensions to be managed. And John the Baptist in that prison says, this isn't what I thought it would be. Are you sure you're the one? Boy, if I could walk back in the moments of my life with the senior pastor, lead pastor title on my office door, you might be ashamed of how many times I've wondered the same thing. Do you know why? Here's the hardest part that Pastor Adam and Pastor Nick and I and John have to go through in ministry. It's not just when I see my world collapse. It's when I watch your world collapse, and I don't have an answer for you. Mike, why did this happen? I don't know. John the Baptist had a lot of questions, and it was so funny. Jesus' response, which you didn't include in the story, but Jesus' response to John the Baptist was this: send word back to John to just look around. Now, when you think about this, just look around. Why? Because when I'm down on God in my life, he's up to work other places. Here's the problem, though. Here's the problem. We only look at ourselves when the circumstances get bad. So I don't throw parties for a living, right? But I do throw one for me. It's called a pity party. Y'all ever do that? But I'm talking to, I can throw good ones, too. And I only think about me. He said, tell John to just look around. You know one of my favorite things about sitting down here on the front row this morning? No matter where my life is, it's a reminder God's at work. I don't know who the gentleman was that walked down to pray this morning during that worship song. Wherever you are, sir, you did my heart good. I just have a picture, that's what heaven looks like. Thomas, pretty good guy. John the Baptist, hard to argue with. But then look at Matthew 28. Then the 11, all the disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, this is after his resurrection, he's getting ready to go back to heaven. When they saw him, they worshiped them. But some of them, what's the next word? Come on now. They doubted. Well, I think they doubted not only is this real, second thing they doubted is could they carry this on? He was leaving it with them. I'm just going to tell you, God's only game plan that he had was leaving it with the 11. That's it. Or the 11 at this point. That was the only game plan he had. We're going to watch some NFL games this afternoon. You watch college games. You're like, what kind of game plan do they put together? God's game plan with these jokers, right? And they're wondering, can we do it? Thomas doubted, John the Baptist doubted. Here's the last little blank. Everybody doubts. Everyone doubts. How many of you sitting in this room will say, at some point in my journey when the lights went out, I had doubts? I mean, I stayed there long, but I had doubts. If that's true, would you raise your hand? Would you look around? Keep it up. Would you look around? You're safe here. You're safe here. If you didn't raise your hand, we're going to have a service at 2 o'clock today for liars. All right, it's on. It'll be great. It'll be great. You really enjoy it. It'll be awesome. Here's what I'm telling you, though. All of us will doubt at some point. This daddy. It's one thing for me to struggle. Watching my kids struggle is a whole nother ballgame. This daddy's kid's dying. He's trying to get to Jesus. He has to push through the crowd to get to Jesus. And look at the way that it's captured in Mark. What do you mean? He asked Jesus, he said, can you heal my son? And look at what Jesus said. What do you mean if you can, if I can? Anything is possible for the person who, what's the next word? And the dad said words that I think have set us, a lot of us, free. And he said, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. The great pastor and author and gentleman is in his 70s, probably 80s now, Charles Swindoll, Dr. Chuck Swindoll, walked with Jesus faithfully 60 plus years. He's not only finishing well, he is well when he's finishing. Listen to what he said. It is the right of every believer to go through the hallways of doubt on their way to rooms of truth. You're going to visit. Here's my challenge. Don't stay. Don't pitch a tent. You will visit doubt many times. Don't pitch a tent. How do we do that? Three things. Super easy. Ready? Number one, give voice to your doubts. They will only have power over you if they stay in silence. If they stay in silence, the enemy will do a number on you. He's been doing it since the book of Genesis. You go back to Adam and Eve, just whack the whole thing up for all of us, right? Because he made them start doubting. He made them start wondering. Why would he tell you? Why would he? If God's so good, why would he tell you not to eat? See, I mean, this started a long time ago. Give voice to your doubts. Speak out. We just, every hand in this massive room just went up, and I'm sure every hand of everybody watching online went up. Why? Because we all doubt at some point. Give voice to your doubts. The enemy wants you to think you're the only one that thinks this. You're the only one that feels this. Don't ever tell anybody, because God will be done with you. Well, if God's done with you, why in the world did he include all those stories in here? He included them because God's not done with you. You may be done with you. God's not done with you. Give voice to your doubts. And it's amazing when you do, the power that lets go in your life. When you go, what am I thinking? Second, ready? Doubt your doubts. Doubt your doubts. Isn't it funny how the enemy... So listen, let me do a little table set here real quick. I'm in alignment with Pastor Adam and Pastor Nick and your church philosophy. I believe that there's a God out there who has an amazing plan for your life. And he loved you so much, he sent his son named who? to live and die for you. Not so you could clean up your life and come to him, so he could get you and clean you up, right? That's what we believe. But I also believe that there's an enemy that's been at work since the beginning, and his job in your life is to steal, kill, and destroy everything God has and everything he wants to do. Not only do we give voice to our doubts, we doubt our doubts. The enemy wants you to doubt God. Well, if God's so good, where is he? If God's so loving, why is this happening to you? If God is so profound and all-knowing, why did he let this visit your life? Why did he let this circumstance come your way? Why did your children do this? Why did your finances do this? He is good. But when I begin to doubt my doubts, all of a sudden I begin to go, well, that doesn't make any sense. We spend more time doubting God than we do doubting our doubts. But here's what I'm going to tell you. If you will doubt your doubts, I want you to write this little thought in, your doubts will push you to God. Why? Because God is the same. He's not going anywhere. Doubt your doubts. Sit down with a small group leader. Sit down with a ministry leader. Sit down with a friend and go, here's what I'm thinking. And all of a sudden, when you begin to unpack your doubts, you're like, what am I thinking? Some of the best books on Christianity ever written by Lee Strobel, Josh McDowell, and some people way smarter than me were books from people who were doubting their doubts. And they ended up in a book now that we can read of going, I doubted my doubts and I found Jesus. I doubted my doubts. Why? Jesus is not afraid of your doubts. He can handle them. He's got you. He never chastised Thomas. He never chastised John the Baptist. None of them. Why? Because he understands we have a very finite mind. We don't understand the things of God. And he knows that. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody look at me. He sees what you can't. He knows what you don't. And therefore, number three is true. We have to choose to trust. You're never going to solve it all the way. It's never going to completely make sense to you. You have to choose to trust. Simon Peter had some high moments and low moments in his journey. Simon Peter had some things he probably regrets that he said. But then he had some things that we hold on to on days like these when he said in John chapter 6, verse 68, Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You are everything. Getting to be here today is a blessing beyond anything I could ever describe to you for two reasons. Number one, I enjoyed the worship. It was amazing. It was awesome. But getting to see kids that I've watched grow up, now raising amazing kids who are sitting down here worshiping, that's worth it all. Getting to get on the phone this afternoon and talk to Casey and hear about church this morning. Talk to Mary Michael at her church and hear what God is doing there. It's awesome. Highs, man. But there's been some moments. A few years ago, we were getting ready for Mary Michael's wedding. And we so Ann is from West Virginia. And so the close of the wedding, the last thing we were going to do a dance together to Take Me Home Country Roads, and we were going to surprise Mary Michael. I don't dance. You're like, are you against it? No, I'm just no good at it, all right? And so, but we're like, oh, what a great, this will be so fun. She'll be shocked. It'll be funny. And we went to a little studio, and this lady's like, oh, it'll be fun. I'm not going to charge you. She regretted that. I can guarantee you that. And so, but we're over there on a Friday. We do it on Friday mornings. We had a blast. Trying to figure out, Ann's good at it, I was terrible. And I remember it was a Friday morning, and I put my phone down, and I noticed it just kept going off. So I picked it up, I said, Dad. He said, Mike, we need you. My daughter's husband, we just got a knock on the door, and he's passed away. She was a couple months pregnant, two little ones, and the prior week they just opened a business. And Mike, we don't know what to do. And I remember going in, and I said, Ann, I got to go. And I took off, I got in the car, and I shot over. They live very near me, and shot over their house. And I remember getting down in front of that couch, and there's a beautiful, he's a realtor, he had opened his own business, and they're pregnant, they just gotten baptized. She's like, Mike, wow. I said, I don't know. But I'm telling you, keep walking. We know where he is. He's at home with Jesus, but it stinks to be here right now. I remember standing up, and I remember coming home and saying that of all the funerals, and I've done hundreds, she was the strongest person I've ever seen at a funeral, ever. But I saw her on her weekdays. Remember those days I'd call her house and say, okay, how you doing? Not doing good. All right, get in the car. Come on. Come over to the office. Sit and talk. And she gave voice to those doubts and voice to those fears and just kept coming back to, I know God's got me. I know God has me. I know God's got a plan. I just don't see it. Friday, as long as the Lord would have it, I stood in Dallas, Georgia. It's a little town near us. At an outdoor wedding venue with a gentleman to my left and a double door opening up in front of me and the song Goodness of God playing as that young lady, Lauren, walked down the aisle to marry a young man that was her husband's best friend from home. And the song, that those verses of Goodness of God, all my life, and all my life you've been good. The goodness of God. And I stood there that night and said, God, there are just times when you choose to trust. And I'm going to tell you this. I believe with every ounce of my being, there's going to be a day if you'll keep walking. You're going to close your eyes here and you're going to open your eyes there and it's all going to be worth it. But until then, we live in the tension. And here's what I'm going to tell you. God's got you. And he's going to see you through. Would you pray with me? Father, I don't pretend to understand it. I just know what I've seen. God, I've seen you bring beauty from ashes. God, I've seen you unwind messes and make good things. We got to keep walking. Got to doubt our doubts. Got to give voice to our doubts. We got to trust. Maybe you walked in these doors today and you are in that season of the crunch. Overwhelmed. You're like, Mike, because of my circumstances, I'm doubting. I'm a believer, but I'm doubting everything I know. Hey, man, you're not alone. I'm glad you're here. If that's you here today, would you just slip up your hand right where you are? It's between you and the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. Jesus, see these hands and know these hearts. See these hands and heal these stories. Don't be ashamed. He's got you. You're his child. He's not absent. Never mistake his silence for his absence. He's there. Maybe you walked in today and you're like, Mike, I'm kicking the tires, man. I've had friends invite me and I've had people tell me, but Mike, why would God want somebody like me? I've been wondering the same thing about me. He just does. I can tell you this, there's nobody that loves you like Jesus. I'd love to introduce you to him today. It goes like this, dear Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you lived for me. I believe you died for me. And I believe you rose again just for me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Lord and Savior. I'm tired of doubting. I'm tired of searching. I'm ready to find my way home. Welcome home. Father, thanks for not cleaning up the book. Thanks for leaving stories to tell me I'm not alone. And God, thanks for seeing us through. It's in Jesus' name that I pray.